Morning, church. Glad you're all here. Today, I'm really excited about this topic. First, I'd like to go ahead and pray. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, I just want to pray for our community. There are so many people out there that are dealing with depression and anxiety, Father God. I've dealt with it and many others. And Father, I just pray for your Holy Spirit to guide me and for it to be your words, Father, not mine. I just pray in Jesus' name that you open up people's hearts and minds to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that every day we talk to people that are dealing with depression and anxiety and we don't even know it? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. It just depends how busy we are. At least 1 in 4 women will suffer major depression at some point in her life. At least 1 in 8 men will suffer major depression in his life. It affects 1 to 3 people seen by an internal medicine physician because it takes such an impact on your health. Depression is the leading cause of disability worldwide. It costs an estimated $90 billion a year for treatment, disability, and in lost productivity in the United States. Depression is a common yet very treatable condition that affects many people in our world. Yet statistics tell us that only about 1/3 of those people get treatment. And you know, that's just very unfortunate because the people that do get treated for it within a few weeks are already feeling so much better. And unfortunately, those that aren't getting any help, some people have it so extreme they're actually suicidal. Especially with the holidays coming up, this is the worst time, the highest rate of suicide right now. People are lonely, they don't have family, they've got health problems, and this all leads to depression. The good news is that the war on depression is very winnable, and so we'll talk about that in just a little bit. What causes depression and anxiety? All kinds of factors can cause it. It can be genetics. You're born into it. I know that my mother had major depression. She was born into a childhood with neglect and abuse, so she dealt with it. She winded up having PTSD. I was born into it. I winded up through life trauma. I have PTSD. When you have PTSD, you have an extreme amount of hypersensitive anxiety. Your fight and flight response is messed up. When Bob and I are in the car, I'm grabbing the walls. Even though the car's not gonna hit me, I feel like it's gonna hit me. People that have dealt in military combat, most of them come back with PTSD. Whenever you're dealing with a life-threatening situation, it can cause that. A lot of times we'll start out as children, and you don't realize this, but as a child, maybe you grew up in neglect, abuse, molestation. You have that going on. And then as you get into your adult life, you might have a very stressful job. You might be going through bullying. You might have just had a bad car accident. And maybe you've suffered from divorce. Maybe somebody died in your family. But all these extreme factors can add up to depression. Most of our brains are very resilient. We can handle several stress factors. However, by the time you get to the 3rd or 4th, then it's too late. It'll hit you like a ton of bricks. And then all of a sudden, you're facing major depression. Did you know that depression causes medical burdens and even death? It impairs the immune system. What happens is that your body is in such turmoil that it's taking everything that it has to survive. So your immune system comes down. And then, that's why I said earlier, like you're seeing an internal medicine doctor and you don't realize you're dealing with depression. You're just getting sick all the time. You've got headaches. You've got all these things happening. And a person is 5 times more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. The reason why is because they're trying to self-medicate. They can't handle the situation. So then they start drinking alcohol or doing drugs or smoking cigarettes, just trying to relieve the stress that they cannot handle in their life. It's terrible. I mean, I've been through this, so I understand it. And that is why I'm so passionate about this, because there is help out there. When you're dealing with depression and anxiety, it can increase problems with anger and hostility. depression is both ancient and universal. It has no moral boundaries or social distinctions. Everyone is subject to it in their lifetime. The Bible has a miserable majority too. At critical moments in their lives, many of God's greatest servants were depressed. Moses, Job, Elijah, Jonah, all pleaded with God to just take their lives. It was just too much. The Psalms are full of people sunk in the pit of despair. In the book of Jeremiah 20 is a miserable description of the effects of his depression. Jeremiah hit rock bottom, and his experience should be helpful to anyone who has suffered from depression. Despite his depression, God was still able to use him. I fell in love reading that book as I was doing this study at how much God used him and how much it has to do with our life dealings even today. When you're going door to door, when you're dealing with people, Jeremiah's been through it. Jeremiah was one of the most unlikely superheroes. There he was just sitting there minding his own business, and God comes and says to him, "You're going to be my appointed spokesman for all the people in the world." And Jeremiah responds, "Lord, I cannot speak, for I am just a youth." He was only about 11 or 12 years old when God came and spoke to his heart. But God assured him, and he told him, "Don't worry, I'll be with you." And so the prophet Jeremiah set out to speak the words that God gave him to speak. And the people ignored him. They ridiculed him. They mocked him. He had all this stress. They wanted to kill him. So poor Jeremiah, he got locked up. He was in the stocks for crime of preaching the mind of God. He had just been punished as a result of righteous teaching. He had been thrown in a cistern and left there. Jeremiah invested 2 decades preaching to no avail. The people were no nearer to God than they were when he first started. This frustration that Jeremiah went through had him pleading to God, saying that he was an object of ridicule, insults, and cruel treatment. He just wished he was never born. But though through all this turmoil, he kept on praying to God. He stayed with God. He didn't give up. He got past it. What helped Jeremiah get through all this mess? What can help us when dark despair comes upon us, even when we're doing God's work? There is power in remembering God's mercy and in praising his name. Amen. When we find ourselves in depression, think of Jeremiah's way of responding. Jeremiah learned that God works even though he is silent. Sometimes we don't hear God speaking when we're going through those trials and tribulations, but we have to have faith and realize that God would not put us in a situation that we couldn't handle. God loves us just the way we are. And a lot of times when we're going through this great distress, God's in the process of sending us relief. He's too good to ever needlessly hurt us or too wise to ever make a mistake. Amen. Keep on talking to God. You may not have what you consider a perfect prayer, but you know what? God listens to your heart. He knows what you're thinking and how you're feeling. Just as your Heavenly Father has answered your prayers in the past, write it down in a journal so that you can remember when God has intervened and helped you through those tough times. Keep a diary and don't suffer depression. There are many options out there. Talk to a friend or a counselor. A healthy alternative that I personally really like is I love Dr. Nedley. I don't know if any of you have heard about him. He's an MD. He's very successful. And we have had classes of that in the past, and we are going to be offering classes starting in January. So I am extremely looking forward to that. If you have suffered with drugs or alcohol or cigarettes in the past, what happens is it shrinks your frontal lobe. And when you take Dr. Nedley's class, you find out what causes that, and you also find out how to increase it back to size. He gives you healthy alternatives with your diet, your exercise. He turns your life around in a very positive way. And that's what I love about him too. Like I said, I took him in mission college, and the class is fantastic. It's so inspiring. And with the emotional issues that I had, it was a total God thing that I was taken to that class. I had no idea. Some of the things that Dr. Nedley would teach you is understanding nutritional secrets to improve your mood, recognize and correct distorted thoughts. How many of us talk ourselves and say, I'm stupid, or I'm dumb, or I would not amount to anything? You don't realize it, but you're saying that probably 1,000 times a day, and you don't even think about it. But Dr. Nedley's class will teach you how to turn that around and realize that you're not stupid. God doesn't create junk. He loves every one of us. And because of God, because of what he gives us hope. Yeah. And another thing that Dr. Nedley teaches us is how to manage stress, how to overcome addictions. And you know, there's more addictions than just drug and alcohol. There is pornography, there's coffee, there's eating. All of those things are addictions, and you would learn about that. You'll learn how to deal with loss, how to treat depression through lifestyle changes, and best of all, it improves your spiritual health. And that is exactly what our Heavenly Father would like for us. He wants us to all be healthy mentally, physically, and spiritually. Will you please turn in your Bible to Psalms 34, verse 18? It says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. I love that scripture because we feel sometimes like we're all alone when we're dealing with all this, and we're not. God's there. He shows compassion. He offers mercy. He gives us eternal hope. He instills purpose in our life. I didn't feel like I had any purpose before I went to the mission college, and God has taken me from a place where I couldn't walk. My fight and flight response was so bad that I was like a deer in the headlights. I couldn't move. My body had turned into spaghetti arms. Bob had to carry me sometimes from the car to the house. It was so bad. And little steps, he has healed me. I mean, there was a day my anxiety was so high, there's no way I would be up here speaking in front of you. I didn't want to be around people. I just wanted to be left alone. I didn't want to get up. Anxiety can cause these kind of circumstances in your life. It's very serious, and it is so normal. People go through this. But our world needs joy givers. We need hope bringers. We need people in our lives who will help us remember what real grace is all about. And folks, if you're not dealing with depression, I would like to encourage you to reach out. Oh, did we pass out those papers yet with all the scriptures? We did? Okay, good. Because I went ahead last night and I wanted to list some good scriptures on dealing with stress, things in the Bible that we can look up that give you help, as well as if you're not dealing with stress and anxiety, how you can reach out to other folks. God wants us to love others like He loves us. He helps us. It's good that we can reach out. So if you're not dealing with depression and anxiety today, amen, that's great. But how about let's reach out to others? People are suicidal right now. They need love. We have people that have lost loved ones this year. They might be home alone for the holidays. Let's reach out. Maybe you can make a loaf of bread. Maybe you can make some cookies. Let's go visit folks. We've got people in our church. We've got people out in the community. Does anybody have any ideas out there, maybe, of things you can do to help others through this holiday season?
Visit the fatherless and the widows.
Very good. That's right.
Make phone calls. Write a letter.
Make phone calls. Just call and say, hey, how are you doing? Yeah. You know, just check on people. Let them know you care. The last thing that I want to share with you, the point of my sermon, is that if you are dealing with depression and anxiety, there is help out there for each and every one of you. Don't just put up with depression on your own. Reach out to a friend, to a loved one, to somebody in your family here at the church, or go to Dr. Nedley's class. It's amazing. In fact, I want to share with you some exciting things. This right here, and if you take that class, this is what you're going to get. You get a bag from Dr. Nedley's help, and in your bag, you're going to get a lot of things. One of the things you're going to get, I love this book, and some of you may already have it, Depression, The Way Out. This is full of such great information. So you'll get your book, or if you already have one, you don't need to repurchase it. You also get this book called SOS, Help for Emotions. This stuff is amazing. One book I really love, and I've been sharing it, I even thought about doing a ladies' Bible study, is Telling Yourself the Truth. And this is where you learn about how negative self-talk affects us. So you learn positive speaking to yourself. You get the book, Ministry of Healing. Very good. You get Psalms and Proverbs. It's an amplified little Bible. And something I really love is you get this workbook here. Now, what you do is you get to listen to Dr. Nedley give you a session, and you fill this out as you're going. And in this book, you're going to learn all kinds of lifestyle therapies for dealing with depression, how to eat a 4-point diet program. It's just amazing. It turns your life around. And so we're going to be offering that. You also get a CD. Now, this is a wake-up CD. It's on classical music because I found out that classical music is extremely healthy for your frontal lobe. Who'd have thought, right? And this wake-up CD is a little fast for me, but they have different ones that they send you. You get a little pedometer to start walking, and you get 2 DAAT tests, and you would take one before and after you take the class. This class is so amazing that people that have actually been dealing with depression and are suicidal, when you first come to the class, you're like all sad and everybody's face is down. They're in the dumps. But then after 3 or 4 weeks, you're smiling. You're ready to turn your life around. And then on the 8th week, we have like a banquet, and you would get Dr. Nedley's recipes of hors d'oeuvres and whatnot. And you graduate. And then people will stand up and give a testimony of what they've learned in the class. And this one guy stood up and he said, "You know what? I'm no longer feeling like killing myself every day." And there's so many people, neighbors out here, that are contemplating that. And that's why I'm saying, reach out. Reach out. Reach out and touch someone. Everybody can do something to help somebody else. With that, let's go ahead and say our prayer and excuse everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And I really hope and pray that somebody has learned something today, something that helps. And the other thing is, like I said, I gave you those scriptures to look up inspirational scriptures, whether it be a hard day at work, family trouble, health issues, heartaches, depression, relationship problems. All this causes stress. And there's things in the Bible that we can look up and feel better. So here's some inspirational scriptures if you're dealing with that. And also, we have scriptures that remind us to reach out to others. Another thing you can do is go out door to door. Just a little testimony. Something exciting happened to me last week. We were going door to door with Pastor Andre. We do that on Wednesdays. And I met this new friend, and I fell in love with this girl. She opened her door. She wanted prayer. And she is open to having Bible study. And that is God's ticket right there, learning the Bible. That's where it starts. And so I am so thankful for that. I'm so thankful that I met her. Let's go ahead and bow our head in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you so much for this opportunity. And thank you for our church. We just had Thanksgiving, and we have so much to be thankful for. Precious Jesus, thank you for our friends. Thank you for our neighborhood. We have so many people out there that we can meet and greet and reach out to. And I just pray, Father God, that we do reach out to those people and make a difference in somebody's life. Father, thank you so much. And I just pray for everybody to get home safely today, enjoy your day, and hopefully your heart has been touched to want to reach out. Father, we just ask this in your precious Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.